After the service this morning, alright, we're going to get Luke to sing one here in just a minute. After the service this morning, we've got Fellowship Sunday, and there's food back in the back, so don't run off. Stay a while. We'd certainly be glad to have you stay and fellowship. The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And I'll tell you, I like food just as much as anybody. I like feasting on the things of the world, but I also like feasting on the things of God. I was telling Brother Sean there, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus told the devil, man shall not live by bread alone. I've got to eat. Don't get me wrong. I weigh 200 pounds, and I'll be down to nothing if I don't eat. But he said, men ought not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You need both of them. I don't want to starve to death on the things of God and feast on the things of the world. But I also don't want to fast on the things of the world and feast on the things of God. I want them both. I'm glad, praise God, I can have them both. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Brother Luke. Sing for us, brother. Appreciate Brother Luke here.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved.
Amen.
And anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though all hell has held me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rings, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like the tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Luke. That's Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is a man walking not in the counsel of the godly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bring forth his fruit and seed, his leaf also shall not wither. How about half quoted that? But anyway, that song came from Psalms chapter number 1.
You know, back then, what grade school is, one of the grade schools that your sons would be saying. You know, yeah. The teachers back then would sing and have prayer, you know.
Yeah. He's right. I remember when I was in grade school, the principal read the Bible over there in the comm every school day morning. We had the Ten Commandments on the wall. He prayed over us every school day morning. The Ten Commandments were there. Paul talked about those Ten Commandments being his schoolmaster to bring him to Christ. He said, I had not known sin but by the law. The law had said, thou shalt not covet. That covers everything. So one thing about those Ten Commandments, they're there to guide us in life. Good to have our brother Sean with us here this morning. I'm looking forward to hearing what the Lord's laid upon his heart. I hope you give him the same respect and attention you give me. And I'd like to ask him to come at this time, if he would, please. And brother Sean, these will be on the internet. We put these messages on the internet. And what you say here will go further than here. And I hope the Lord bless you in all that you do, brother.
Thanks.
I got you a bottle of water right there. Good to have you.
Thank you so much. It's definitely wonderful to be here. And I love it. I absolutely love it when I walk through the door and people are smiling.
Amen.
And as soon as I walked through the door this morning, people were smiling. Got an encouraging word from your pastor. And just a great way to start service. I love service. I love going to church. I absolutely love attending church. My favorite time, my brother, is Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Amen.
And you know why? Because it makes Sunday morning worship even better.
That's right.
You know, so anytime the doors are open, I enjoy being there. And I've thought many times, why do I love church so much? And I thought, well, what am I going to be doing if I'm not in church?
Yeah.
And, you know, so if I'm in church, I'm hearing the word of the Lord. Now, just a little bit about myself. Well, actually, a few little things, a little encouraging things. I appreciate the encouraging word. My offering this morning, I gave to the van ministry. I absolutely love the van ministry and picking people up, bringing them to church. To me, that's one of the biggest outreaches a local church body can do is going out in the community. Whoever wants to come to church can come to church. I love that ministry. So I appreciate that very much. Just a little bit about myself. I do love going to church. I do live in Russell County. My name is Sean Pierce, as they've said. And, I was raised in church and went to church all my life. I gave my soul to the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 11. And like a lot of teenagers do, I went by the wayside. I started doing things I should not do. You know, I fell into people would call the popular crowd. And I started doing the things that the popular kids did. And through this whole time of doing that, I knew I was doing wrong. Of course, I had a holy God, and a holy God was convicting my heart. And I never was happy. I can say this day, I never was happy going to these places I shouldn't be, hanging around these people I should never been around. I knew better. But, you know, during those times, I'd come home late on Saturday nights. I wouldn't obey my mom. I'd come in past curfew. But every Sunday morning, my mom got me up, made me go to church. Let me tell you something. I didn't want to go to church. You know, I felt bad for what I did the night before. She would push me out of bed. I'd get up. There were times I'd be up in Lexington, Kentucky with some friends after watching a UK football game. Out of respect for my mom for making me do that, I would make them guys get up and I'd drive back to Rest County so I could be back time for church. I respected her. I didn't like it then, to be honest with you. But now, being 37 years old, I'm very thankful for that. Let me tell you something else. There's homes right now, and there's parents in homes telling their children there's no reason to go to church. They're telling them that there is not a God. They're telling them that just live this life the very best that you possibly can, and then when life's over, it's over. We received a letter from a student who said this. He says, after the Gideons distributed two New Testaments at my school, some of the kids started a memory scripture contest at church. I didn't hang around with these kids, and I didn't attend Sunday school, but I got in the contest anyway. My dad threatened to burn my New Testament, but my mother had stopped him. I memorized verses with the other kids, but I still did not attend Sunday school. Later on, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I told the pastor that I would like to be baptized because reading that New Testament and reading those verses from that Bible that the Gideons had given me. Amen. Since then, my father has threatened to keep me out of my home if I go to church anymore. He even bought me a motorbike under the condition that I would give up my newfound religion. I refused to accept the bike, and I told my dad, as much as I'd like to have that bike, I'd never give up Jesus for it. See, most of you are familiar with the work of the Gideons International. However, something you may not realize is this. We're more than just missionaries. We're actually an interdenominational association of Christian business and professional men who are members of good standing in the local church. And our members are dedicated to saving the lost through personal witnessing and also the distribution of God's Word in more than 190 countries around the world. And our purpose is to lead others to Jesus Christ. Now, whatever scripture distributed yield fruit? Possibly not, but we know some will. So as Gideons, we seek to accomplish what Isaiah suggests in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 20, and that's to sow beside all waters and then trust God for the increase. You see, once a person has a copy of God's Word, this leads them to their faith in Christ.
That's right.
Then they can begin to study the Scriptures and grow in their faith, and then they'll learn to share their faith with others. So for this reason, we're focused on distributing the Word of God. These Scriptures are printed in more than 90 languages, and they're either given directly to certain individuals, or they're placed in public locations where people who are searching for answers will have an opportunity to encounter the Word of God. One way we have distributed Scriptures internationally is through what we call an International Scripture Blitz. Basically, what happens in this program, Gideons will pay their own way. They go to another Gideon country and assist in the mass distribution of Scripture. A few years ago, it's probably about 10 years ago, there's a mass distribution that was held in Colombia, South America. Now, if you turn on your news, it don't take very long to hear about Colombia, South America. It's full of drug cartels. It's full of violence. It's full of prostitution rings. Slavery still goes on. If you can name it, it goes on. It's a dark place. Well, during that distribution, over a two-week period, there were over 1 million copies of Scripture that were distributed in a Amen. Two-week period.
Praise the Lord.
And as a result of those Scriptures being handed out, the word started bearing fruit and testimony started flooding in. Now, we, of course, we as Gideons get these newsletters, and that's how we keep up with the distributions. And there's one testimony in particular that really caught my eye. I started reading about this man who lived beside one of those sponsoring churches in Colombia, South America. And over the time that he'd lived there, what he would do is, he would, anytime he got a chance, he would go next door and break into that church. He would do whatever he can to disrupt services. He would take scriptures, he would take Sunday school literature, whatever he could do, and he'd tear it up. He didn't want people worshiping beside his house. Well, during this distribution, he received a copy of God's Word from Gideon. And this time, instead of ripping up that scripture, he read it. And he accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Now, the story doesn't stop there. Now, since then, the Lord has called him into the ministry. Now he's the very pastor of the church that he was breaking into.
Wow.
You see, God's Word does not return unto him void.
Lord!
Just a few years ago, there's a man who was sent to prison. He wrote a letter to the Gideons, and he says this. He says, I praise God that I got arrested. When's the last time you heard that, brother? Yeah. He says, I praise God that God arrested. He says, because it was in here that I learned of Jesus Christ. He says, I had to be locked up in a jail cell with nothing to read except a Gideon Place Bible in my cell to learn about him. He said, I sat here in prison sentenced by the state of Florida for 205 years. By the federal government, another 100 years. He says, but I rejoice because I am free.
Amen.
He says, Jesus Christ has set me free through His mercy and His grace.
Amen.
He said, I would rather live the rest of my life in prison as Jesus Christ is my Savior than outside without Him.
Amen.
And see, you're making these types of distributions possible. And even though we do need your financial support, there's many ways that you can support this ministry, friends, because first of all, we need your prayer support. Prayer is the key to the success of the Gideon ministry. We're counting on you all to pray for this ministry. Take your prayers boldly to the throne of grace. Pray for the men of God who are out there placing the Word of God that is closed for missionaries from any denomination. There are men who are literally giving their lives to place the Word of God that you're being so faithful to provide.
Right.
Second, we not only need your prayer support, but we're looking for other men to join the work of this service. We would love for men to join the work of service to go out and place Bibles in the hands of students at the local schools and the faculty and staff. Men who can go out and place Bibles in motel rooms and hotel rooms and jails and induction centers and doctor's offices. And over in Russell County, we can do cabins and houseboats. Wherever the doors are open, we're looking for men to do that. And even though it's not a requirement, if you don't like to speak, that's okay. You can go out and share a stewardship report like I'm bringing this morning to share how God is blessing the work of His ministry. And then third, we pray that you would financially support this ministry. A Bible that is given to a student, a New Testament, or a Bible that is given to a military personnel, a little New Testament will cost approximately $1.30. A Bible that is placed in a hotel room will cost approximately $5. But if you think about it, it's not very much for such a great investment opportunity.
Right.
In it. You see, in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, we are told that when the Word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied. So that tells us as Gideons, we want to flood the world with Scripture. And I want you to know this is a matter between you and the Lord.
Right.
You know, in Nashville, Tennessee, we have the corporate headquarters for the Gideons International. It's a place that's open. I don't know if you'd ever like to take a church trip or not to go visit. We welcome and tour the facilities. And as you can imagine, it's a worldwide ministry. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of expenses that goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
But we as Gideons, every year we pay our annual dues.
Mm-hmm.
There's over 287,000 Gideons worldwide. And with those dues that gets paid, that's more than sufficient to cover the cost it goes to running that corporate office. So I'm pleased that I can say that 100% of your donations goes toward the purchase and distribution of the Word of God. It goes for not only, it goes from the press to the palm. And I'm so thankful that you're able to, that's what your money goes to. Then my favorite way to support the work of this ministry is through the Gideon card program. You can use in recognition cards to recognize special events or occasions. You can use thank and view cards, let somebody know that you're thinking about them. And of course, the in memory cards to honor your loved ones who have gone on to be with the Lord. Back in October 2006, I had an uncle pass away. His name was Ivan Emerson. Now, since he's gone on to be with the Lord, over 300 Bibles have been given in his memory. Now, with that number of Bibles that have been given, over 700,000 souls will have a chance to read a copy of God's Word. Right. You may think, how can that be? Well, each Bible that's donated in this program has a potential of reaching 2,300 readers. So when you use this program, it blesses the one who sends a card, the one who receives a card, and especially the one who receives that Gideon Place Bible. A lady from Maysville, Kentucky, she wrote this. A few years ago, I took my husband to the hospital after he suffered a severe asthma attack lasting 3 days and nights. This resulted in a heart attack. The doctors called me out of the room to ask if I realized that my husband was in very critical condition and subject to die at any moment. In fact, they told me that they did not feel that there was any hope whatsoever. Knowing Christ as my personal Savior, I held on to God in prayer for my husband. I only asked that he be given another chance to repent of his sins and that he would not be taken out of this world without God. My husband remained in a coma all that day and all that night. But the next morning, he came out of the coma praying for God to be merciful and to save his soul.
Thank you, Lord.
I found a Bible in that hospital room placed there by the Gideons. God directed me the very passage that he would have me to read to lead my husband to Jesus Christ. When the doctors arrived, they could not understand the great change, yet they did admit it had not come through them. God not only saved my husband's soul, but he also spared his life. I shall always be grateful to the Gideons for placing the Word of God where it is most appreciated. See, the Gideons International started distributing the Word of God back in 1908, changing lives for more than 100 years. Last year, we distributed more than 84 million copies around the world and over 1.7 billion since 1908 and counting. However, there's still a great need for scripture placement. You see, each week there's over 2 million readers that's added to this world. So that offers a challenge to us as Christians to help supply this tremendous void. Does your support really count? Does your support really make a difference? She was standing in the doorway, dressed from head to toe in black. A veil covered all but her eyes. She moved quickly but carefully, hoping that no one would notice. As she reached the end of the hallway, she spotted him, the man with the Bibles in his hands. His name was Jeff. He's a Gideon. And then at last she caught his attention. I will never forget that young woman, the desperation in her voice, the intensity in her eyes, the courage it took to step out, Jeff says. Perhaps you never will either. You see, the woman only spoke 4 words, but they echo a world that needs hope. She said, "Please, mister, a Bible." You see, Gideons share the bread of life. There's at least 36 organizations today that's fighting world hunger, and it's more that's addressing physical needs that's so prevalent. And we're thankful for each one of these organizations because we know that they're needed. But there's only one organization that's devoted entirely to sharing God's Word with lost men, women, boys, and girls all around the world. And that's the Gideon's International. You see, Luke chapter 12, verse 23 tells us this. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. You see, scriptures are gifts. And we as Gideons understand that these gifts, when distributed, are seeds that God can use to change lives according to His will and according to His timing. We don't know precisely how God will use His Word to change lives, but we are certain He does. And of course, we have His promise in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, which says this, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth.
Amen.
It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it."
Amen.
You know, as I look around this morning, and as Sunday school opened up, the ones who brought their Bibles held them up.
Amen.
And That's a precious thing. We can see how important the Word of God is to us. And the very reason that you're here this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, is because you have that Word of God.
Amen.
Somebody has shared the Word of God with you. There's all kinds of ministries that's operating around the world, God-ordained ministries that He put forth to reach out to people. Every one of them to survive, must use this book.
Right.
So that's why I sit here this morning, and I believe with all my heart, I love the work of the Gideon's International. I believe that the Word of God is the most powerful thing in all the world.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got to have it to operate, don't we? It has our life lessons in it. It has a message of salvation. It's a message of hope.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful to be here and to be able to stand up and represent the work of the Gideon's International. And think of this. When you support the work of the Gideon's International, if you can't financially, that's fine. I told you in the beginning that the key is prayer. When you support the work of the Gideon's International, you're spreading the Word of God all over the world. So this church here in this community, in the St. Oak community, is touching lives all over the world. And remember this, we're an extended arm of your church. And we're so thankful for support. May God bless you as you continue to support the work of the Gideon's International. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Shaw. Amen. Jeremiah, the king, called Jeremiah. He said, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah said, there is. I said earlier, 1 Samuel chapter 1, I think it's verse 2, said the word of the Lord was precious in those days. It's not lost, it's preciousness. And I appreciate the effort that's been put forth. And like I said, before you speak against it, or even think against it, just think about this. What are you doing for the cause that they're doing? I mentioned David Beckridge. He may have went on to read from Psalm 34, verse 6 to verse number 8. It said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a lot of hungry people out there. There's a lot of thirsty people out there. There's only one thing I know, Molly, that satisfies. It's Jesus, and He does it through the Word of God. Never stale. It always refreshes and restores. And with rejoicing, we can fellowship with God. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of His Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. The only way you can walk in the light is right here. And it's of His Word gives light. His Word is light unto my feet, lamp to my feet, light to my path. But also, He said, the path of the just as a shining light shineth more and more into the perfect day. They want to get rid of this. They hate this, but they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand what we understand because we've done been brought into the light. Like He said about that young boy, his father trying to talk him out of it. His father needs what his son has got.
Right.
I never will forget the day my little boy said, Daddy, you go to church with me today. I didn't want to go. I just couldn't find no way to tell that little boy that the tears was dripping down his cheeks and a little lip quivering. Couldn't find no way to tell him no. I wanted to tell him no. But I couldn't find no way to tell him no. And I went that day reluctantly, but I heard the Word of God for the first time from an anointed preacher. He told me about the love of God, told me about the judgment, temperance, and I trembled. And I'll tell you what, buddy, we don't need less, we need more of this. I don't know how I can help, but I know one thing I want to. And I don't know, I might need Brother Melvin's help right here. Are we to take up an offering for them? Are we supposed to do that?
Yes.
We're going to take up an offering for the cause of this. And I remember someone said one time, how much should I give? Let me say, like they said, when they asked that, said, it's not how much should, it's how much can I give. And Brother Shaw mentioned, maybe you're not able to give this morning. I'll tell you one thing you can give. You can give your support for their work by prayer, supplication, saying, Lord, provide, Lord, protect, Lord, keep them going. Because I'll tell you what, buddy, in this day and time we're in, the labors are few, but the cause is still great. There's still a need. There's still little boys and little girls. Like that woman, she's so full of words. Please, mister, a Bible. I heard a man speak last night, and he said, if you live in America, you're already a millionaire. You don't have to have $1 million to be a millionaire. He said, there's people who give $1 million just trade places with you. To have the freedom you got. Freedom to worship. Freedom to go to church. And even though that man, like Paul, persecuted that church, he found mercy because he did it ignorantly. And after he did get saved by reading that Bible, tell you what, buddy, God was able to use that man. There's a lot of people out there just like that man right there. They don't know what to do. Most of the things they do them wrong. But even in that, they're desperately crying out, pray for me, don't give up on me. That wife of that husband that had asthma that went into a heart attack, she got down. Lord, let my husband live long enough to repent. 2 days, or maybe one after all that long, next morning he come out of that coma and asked God to have mercy on him. God wants to have mercy. He has no pleasure in death of the wicked. He's plenty of mercy. His mercy is in there every morning. It's of the mercies of the Lord we're not consumed. God's gracious. God's good. And whatever you can give this morning, I'm not no rich man. I'm about like Peter, silver and gold have I none. But I'll tell you right now, I do want to give. I'm looking in here, there's 220s. To me, that's $10,000. I mean, I just don't have a lot of money. But I'll tell you what, you can't give to a better cause. And what they're taking
over the church, I think we're to give $100 to church.
Yeah.
I know we've been at quite a bit for a few weeks, not all that, but we're a small church, but I think it's all the
best. If it be possible,
amen.
I have no problem with that. If anybody does object to that, please speak. If not, I certainly want that done. Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you've got the ability to give a lot. I'll tell you right now, whatever ability you got, you ought to think about this. You got ability right here to have a part in some center. It's one step from hell. One step from leaving out. To possibly being rescued, to being reached by the Word of God. What you got, Brother Melvin?
Let's see. This goes through the camp.
No, it
goes
to there.
Oh,
it was
there.
Yeah.
I
had from last today. So
okay.
Yeah, it was there.
Well,
it's,
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's camp number down there, 004. And there, camp number, if you'll put that on the
yeah. I'm not bragging about these 220s. This is just all I had to give. But I want to give this morning. You give as the Lord leads you. Father, we thank you for the privilege of what we just heard. And Lord, we know your work's a great work. We know, Lord, you use uncommon men, not noble men, not men of any great pedigree to do the great work of God. And I thank you for sending Sean our way this morning. I thank you for what he shared with us. And Lord, I not only wanted to give, but Lord, I was wishing I had more to give. But I do pray, dear Father, this morning, you'll take what's given. And I pray, Lord, you would use it as only you can. I know your word says little as much when God's in it. And I pray you'll take what's given today. I pray it'll be rightfully applied. And I pray many, untold multitudes would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because someone put forth an effort to get the word of God to them. And Lord, we're all guilty this morning of putting the burden on someone else. We have here this morning men that want to go, men that have a desire to share the Word of God, have a desire to put themselves at a loss to go for the glory of God. I pray you'll bless their labor, bless their efforts, bless, Lord, their ministry, lengthen their tent stakes, provide for them out of your riches and glory, till, Lord, they can look back and see countless multitudes that have come to know Jesus by their efforts. We thank you, Father, for what we've heard. Ask your blessings on it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wayne, I've got a testimony about the Gideon. My husband used to be he had backslidden. He became a very, he was an alcoholic, and he became a very abusive husband. He was very physically and mentally abusive to me for years. And I kept asking him, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for you to turn around? And God brought him to death twice over a several-year period. He still wouldn't turn. And then the third time, he wound up with Luke was a baby. He was 3 months old. He wound up with pneumonia. We went, and then when we came out of the hospital, Luke spent 8 days in there. Then we came out of the hospital 2 months later. My husband wound up with pneumonia. And he was in there for 8 days. And every single, and they told me, they said, he's probably not going to live. And I said, what do you mean? They said, we've done tests. They said, his liver's in a terrible shape. His lungs are in a terrible shape. He's just destroyed his body. His bowels, his kidneys, everything was very bad shape. So we're going to have to get professional in here and run some more tests and see what we can do. Every single day I went in to Taylor County Hospital, apparently that kid had a bottle. And when he would go off to sleep, I'd put that Bible on that food tray and I'd put it in front of his face where when he couldn't even sit up out of bed without hitting that thing.
Yeah.
He would fuss. he'd say, "Oh, why do nurses keep doing that?" I never said a word. I never said a word. And
wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove.
I just kept putting it there, and I would pray, "Lord, please, please, don't give up on him."
Yeah.
And I would go on to school and send the kids to school, and then I'd go back for my visit after I was going to college at the time. I'd come back out, and I'd do the same thing. Every time he went to the bathroom, I'd do the same thing. And it went on and on. And then on that sixth day, he was going for tests. And for some reason, the tests were supposed to be at 8 o'clock. For some reason, he went for those tests at 6, which meant I wasn't there. I was sending the children to school. We lived over here. And I was sending them to school. I couldn't, go back over there until they were at school. And by the time I got over there, he was sitting there. Of course, his face was different. Everything about him was different. And he just looked shiny to me. And I knew the presence, I had already given my life to the Lord. And I had already turned my sins around, because I was in a backslidden condition too. So I knew where he was standing.
Yeah.
I just knew it was taking him a whole lot longer to get to where he needed to be. And, when he told me, he said, "I finally read that Bible." And he said, "I already knew what was in it."
Yeah.
He said, "But I told God, Lord, I know that, I've turned my back on your thing." He said, "But I told him." He said, "You forgive me, and I'll come back to live for you what little time I've got left."
Amen.
They gave us the report just a couple hours after I got there. Those other tests they weren't completely normal, but he wasn't facing death anymore.
Amen.
His kidneys were fine, and his liver, and this is a man who drank most of his life, hard, lots of liquor, and it was fine. He didn't have anything wrong with his liver today. And he's got a lot of other, issues, from the smoking, from the lungs and things. He's got emphysema, but nothing like he was facing. And, that was all because I know that a Gideon Bible was placed in that hospital for that specific reason. And I thank the Lord for that. And
amen.
The Lord, like he's saying, for that ministry of that. And that was the first Bible I had ever gotten when I was a child. And my parents didn't believe. I was spanked for reading my Bible at night. There's a whole lot of things about my family that people don't know. They're not now. They're both going to church. Of course, my dad's not a Christian, but my mom is. He says he is, but he's not. But, I would sneak and read that Bible, that little Gideon Bible. And I can remember they would spank me. I would get in trouble for going to church. There was all kinds of things. I would sneak out on Sunday morning and sneak off to church. And there's a whole lot of things I've done. But the first contact I got to have was through the Gideon Bible. And,
amen.
I cherished it. I hid it because I had to hide it.
Yeah.
And I would hide it just so I could have it. I just thank the Lord for all those things. And, like he said, and that changed the whole thing. Because after my husband rejected his life, two of our sons, we have six boys, two of our sons give their lives to the Lord.
Amen.
8 and 10 at the time. And then one of the older ones who was doing drugs, he's now a drug counselor and in a big Baptist church for people, who drink and do alcohol and stuff, because he changed his life. Because, like you said, that Bible touched one. Well, it spread out to the whole family, because once you've got God in the family, he's there. He's going to spread.
Yeah.
And, I just thank the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord that I can get that testimony.
Amen, Sister Nita. She said there was a Gideon Bible there, and she needed a Bible. Her husband needed it. He knew it, but he still needed it. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, "If you be my disciples, continue in my word, and you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free." Everybody don't want the Bible. God don't shove it down nobody's throat. But it's there if you want it. Matter of fact, it's there. It's affordable. And he provides it. But I remember hearing a story about this. I heard on the radio. This guy that played that wizard on that movie, Lord of the Rings. They called him Gandalf or something like that. He's some kind of big Hollywood actor. Whenever he stays in a motel, if they've got a Bible in there, he'll pull that drawer up first thing, and sure enough, there'd be a Gideon's Bible in there. He'll open it up to Leviticus chapter 18-19. He'll take his knife and cut it out. And he thinks somehow by cutting out those scriptures in there, he's a homosexual. I forgot to tell you that. Yeah, he's a homosexual. And let me say this about homosexuality. I'm not bashful about it. Pure rebellion, straight out of hell. It's not of God. Anybody wants to believe that lie, it's America. Help yourself. The Bible said God made man upright. They sought out many inventions. But he's a homosexual. I didn't know that for this radio program. But he goes in there and his objective is to get rid of that. And I'm glad God doesn't get rid of that word.
Amen.
I'm glad, like he said, he gave it. And it's there. We need it. And as a matter of fact, the Bible said we ought to give the most earnest heed to it, lest any time we let it slip. And even that Gandor, Bible says it's about Jezebel. God gave her space to repent. And sadly, he said she repented not. But he's given it, I don't know that actor's name, but his name in that movie is Gandor. God's even given him space to repent. Now, whether he does or whether he doesn't, I don't know. But I know one thing, cutting them 2 pages out of that Bible ain't going to change a thing. He can go to New Testament there, Romans chapter 1. He can go to Peter. He can go to all kind of places in there. There's all kind of scriptures. It's not just Old Testament.
Well,
praise the Lord.
That's a lot of Bible.
I'd like to thank everyone for what you gave. I'd like to thank Brother Sean for coming with us, to be here with us this morning. And like I said, we've got food back in the back.
One other thing. Okay. I'd like to say something about the Gideons. They was there for me when I went to Big Sam's Army. There in Louisville.
Yeah.
Early 60s. And they passed that Bible there. You know, pastors, you know, and Psalms and Proverbs had it. So I started going to church. We did. And we've been married about 3 weeks. We started going to church. Well, this guy I work with, he's a preacher, you know, he got us going to church, you know, and there in the oven. And I carried this little Gideon testament in my pocket I take to work with me, everywhere I went. You know,
yeah.
And, so I'd get up myself at break time. I was trying to find a hand in the world to get saved. I didn't
know. Yeah.
I'd be saved, you know, and I was wanting them. And so I get up myself there and I read it. Break time, lunch time, when they're at work. And people pass by, let them go ahead, you know.
Amen.
And the laundromat or wherever we're at, I'd drag it a little bit handy, you know, keep it in your pocket, you know, greet wherever you're at, you know. And so it's really a blessing. They've been a blessing to me.
Amen.
And more than I'll ever be able to do to them, I guess, you know. But I appreciate the work. You know?
Amen.
Like I said, 100% that's going to our Bible, you know. And
yeah.
We have to pay it, you know. Fees every year to be a Gideon, you know, and that goes to pay the office people, you know.
Yeah.
And that's overhead there, you know, the Gideon work here. God bless each one that gave for it.
Amen. Acts chapter number 8, there's an Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading the Bible. He's reading Isaiah chapter 53. God told Philip to go down and join himself to him. He came up here, and he said, understandeth what thou readest. That's what Brother Mavin's doing. He was trying to figure out how to be saved. He was reading that little Gideon Bible. And that Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he stopped the chariot. Philip joined him. He began that same scripture. And he preached unto him Jesus. And that Ethiopian eunuch said, behold, here's water. What doeth hinder men being baptized? If you got the right kind of Bible. Verse 37 is in there. And he said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he stopped that chariot. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch went down and he baptized him. The Spirit called Philip away. And the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing.
Amen.
There's a lot of people out there, just like what Brother Melvin said, reading that Bible, wanting to be saved. And I'll tell you right now, that Bible. Matter of fact, we're begotten by that Word. And without that Word, no seed to be planted. Without that Word, no water for the seed. Matter of fact, the washing of the water by the Word keeps pretty clean by itself. But Paul said, one planteth, and another watereth, but God gives increase. I thank God for the work. Thank God for these workers. You shake this fellow's hand here. Tell him you appreciate what he does. And let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. To go back here and have some fellowship back in the back. I hope nobody runs off. It's been a blessing to be here. Let's continue this blessing. And Brother Sean, would you dismiss us? Word of prayer. Appreciate you coming this morning. Just ask to dismiss them. Pray for a blessing on the food back here in the back.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful most of all for this day that we've been set aside specifically, Father. This is the day that Father all of us.